I'm going to talk a little bit before we look at Scripture. We are dispensational when it comes to choosing the type of theology that our church uses. We're dispensational in theology. We know we no longer live under the Old Testament law and commandments. This is the age of grace, often referred to as the church age, because we're living in the New Testament days. We're saved and kept by grace through faith, by the power of God. The New Testament reveals the age in which we live as the time transpiring in the New Testament from the beginning of the church to the close of the book of Revelation. Now, I know the church did not exist in the Old Testament. The church was established at Pentecost with the Jews, and God used Peter to open the door of the gospel to the Gentile nations in Acts chapter 10. And he defended that in chapter 11 before the Jewish elders and apostles of the early church and the apostles. Then God saved a zealous Jew by the name of Saul of Tarsus. And he was a persecutor of the church. And God sent him to take the gospel to the nations and make disciples of the many nations of people. And he said to the young man that he sent to him to pray for him that he would receive his sight after seeing Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was blind. And the man was afraid to go because of knowing the reputation of Saul of Tarsus. And the Lord said to him to go because he is a chosen vessel, and I will show him all the things that he will have to suffer for my name's sake among the Gentile nations of people. Now, God allowed persecution at Jerusalem by the Romans to scatter the early church. Turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. Beginning with verse number 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. All these Jewish people came to Jerusalem for the annual feast of Pentecost. They were born because of the dispersion throughout all the various nations, but they came back to Jerusalem for the temple and for the time of the great feasts, and this was the feast of Pentecost. Verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then it lists these different nations they were from. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt and parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, proselytes, Greeks, and Arabians. We do hear them in our tongues the wonderful works of God, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And so all of these different nations that these people came from, by a miracle of God, they all heard the gospel in the language wherein they had been born, where they had been taught as a child. Now, these were scattered abroad because of persecution. So most of them did not stay in Jerusalem. A great host of Jews had been saved, and now many of them would return to the places where they were from when they had traveled here. Because of the miracles of God, many stayed for quite some time, but when persecution came, they would no doubt go back home to the nations where they were born. And as they went, they took the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, the message of salvation, the message of hope, the message of Christ being the Messiah. And so as they took the gospel, churches became established that Paul and Peter did not start, because of the myriad of people getting saved and the message of the gospel going about, and the custom of the Jewish people gathering in localities in what were called synagogues or gathering places, the forerunner to the local church was born. So now we come to this place where we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to return in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18 says that Christ will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 through 58 gives us a similar expression about we won't all die, but we must all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So we're forcibly lifted out of this present evil world where Satan is the unholy God who dwells here and causes all the troubles and trials and problems and pains that go on in the world. We will go in the rapture, the caught up. The Greek word harpazo is a forcible seizure. The Latin translation uses the word rapturo, which is where we get the word rapture. And it doesn't mean, as songwriters say, to be overcome with joy. It means a forcible seizure. The root word of that word is rape, and that's a forcible thing. The Lord will take us out of Satan's realm forcibly. We'll be lifted out of this world and go home to be with the Lord. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, many will be left behind. Not believers, but all unbelievers will be left behind. They will begin to go through what is called the tribulation. The tribulation is referred to in the scriptures as the day of the Lord. It is referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble. It's referred to as the day of the wrath of God. It's referred to as the wrath of the Lamb. All of these expressions are referring to that time period upon this earth where believers have left, and now all the unsaved are left here. The book of Daniel reveals in chapter 12 and verse 11 and 12 that there are 2 3.5-year periods in the tribulation period. In these periods, it is a time when the Antichrist will come to power and will demand that he be worshipped. He is called the man of sin. He comes to power over the world. And those who receive his mark and worship his image, the Bible says, are damned. They will be doomed for all eternity. Revelation 6 through 19 reveals all the terrible judgments that will happen upon this earth during the 7 years of the tribulation. Next, reasons to be looking for the rapture to take place and not to be left behind. First of all, the dispensational belief is the only one that holds to a literal or a historical grammatical interpretation of the scriptures. Other interpretations allegorize the Bible. Postmillennialism and mid-trib rapture positions, none of these take all the scriptures literally in order to form their theology. The view that we hold distinguishes the church from Israel. In Revelation 4 and verse number 1, the church is no longer referred to on earth. John is a type of the church. The Bible says in 4:1, he's caught up into heaven. He sees a great door and he's caught up into heaven. There's no mention of the church after that. Prior to the verse chapter 4, you have the book of Revelation addressed to the 7 churches of Asia Minor, and each one of those 7 churches is addressed. And God deals with them, letting them know he sees their works, he knows their life, he knows their circumstance. He will bless them for their good works, and he calls them to repent of all the wrongdoing in their lives. Our position of a pre-trib position distinguishes the tribulation from the great tribulation. There are 2 3.5-year periods. The last 3.5 years is the great tribulation. Antichrist will commit, according to Matthew 24, the abomination of desolation, where he will require men worship him. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth, restrains, will let or restrain until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So we're looking for the Lord to take us to heaven and deliver us from this hour that will come upon all the world. And those left behind will go through the tribulation. The last 3.5 years, the Antichrist has come to power and turns on Israel. He'll make a covenant with them for 7 years, the Bible says, or 1 week of years. And then in the midst of that, he will commit the abomination of desolation by declaring himself God and require that men worship him. Now, our position as pre-trib rapture helps us to understand these biblical events in their order of time when they will take place. God deals with Israel, not with the church, in the tribulation. The church is in heaven with the Lord, and God begins to deal with Israel to draw them back unto him. He specifically saves 144,000 Jewish people, 12,000 from each one of the 12 tribes. And they become witnesses to the world of the Lord Jesus as the Messiah and turn unto the Lord. And the 7-year tribulation was revealed in Daniel as the 70th week of years that was revealed to Daniel. A period of 70 weeks of years, 70 times 7. 69 weeks of years were fulfilled with the cutting off of the Messiah. There's still yet 1 week of years that has not been fulfilled, and that's Daniel's 70th week, and that's what we call the tribulation. The third point I make about this, the translation of the church is not found at the second advent when Christ returns to the earth to fight the battle of Armageddon. Instead, it is found we are caught up with the Lord in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, because the church is not appointed to the day of wrath that will come upon all the world. The church is 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10, and chapter 5 and verse 9, both mention that we are not appointed to the wrath of God in those days. The church is not a part of God's wrath being poured out on the earth, Revelation 6, verse 17. The rapture of believers is based on their salvation by faith in Christ, not upon works that they have done. Number 4, the imminent coming of Christ is in view. The understanding is to be a comfort to believers, looking for Christ to come. This world's going to get more wicked. This world's going to face some horrible things, And praise God, we're going to be delivered before that begins upon this earth. That is a great comfort. There's a motivation because of that for us to purify ourselves, looking for the Lord to come. Number five, 2 Thessalonians 2 that we looked at here. The restrainer is the Holy Spirit, who restrains evil in the world today. Where there are Christians and the work of the Spirit of God, evil is restrained. But when all Christians are taken out of this world, the restraint of the Holy Spirit will be withdrawn with the believers, and he will allow evil to be unleashed in the earth. Lawlessness could not be able to be unrestricted with the Spirit here. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 6 through 8, it's like Lot at Sodom. He had to be removed before the angels could destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And the church, as weak as we are, as much of a failure as we are, we're the saved of the Lord, and we'll be removed before the wrath of God is poured out, just like Lot was warned and removed before Sodom was destroyed. Number six, in reference to the second coming, which includes the rapture and the second advent to the earth, Jesus said, "I will come again." He said that with an emphasis, "I will come again." The angel said to the disciples in Acts 1:11, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come again in like manner, even as you have seen him go." Paul said, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout." Peter said, "When the chief shepherd will appear, you'll receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away," in 1 Peter 5:4. And Revelation 1 and verse 7 said he's coming with clouds. When Christ comes for the second advent to this earth, the Bible says every eye will see him. And when the rapture takes place, there's no indication, because it happens in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that anyone outside believers caught up will know what is taking place. Number seven, once every believer leaves the earth with the Lord, civilization will descend into chaos. Imagine every believer immediately leaving the earth. Daniel 9:27 reveals that Israel will sign a peace treaty with the Antichrist for a seven-year period of time. Christ warns in Matthew 24:15, when the abomination of desolation happens in the temple, the holy place, as Daniel warned, that Israel is to flee to the mountains. Then shall there be great tribulation as was never before. And then the second advent, where Christ returns to the earth. In 2 Thessalonians 2:4, the Antichrist will sit in the temple and declare that he himself is God, and that men must worship him. Christ will return to earth and fight the battle of Armageddon. One of the nations that will be involved in all that battle will be the ancient Persian Empire. We know them as Iran. Iran, Iraq, were highly involved in all the biblical days, and they will be in the last days as well. The Bible says in Revelation 1:7 and in Matthew 24 that like the lightning splits the sky from the east to the west, that Christ will return in the second advent and every eye will see him. Now, don't confuse that passage in Matthew 24 with the rapture, where the sky, people say that all the time. One of these days I'm going to look up and it's going to be like the lightning splits the sky, Jesus is coming. No, you're not going to look up and see him happen. It's going to happen real quick. It's going to be over with. You're not going to see in anticipation. That reference is to his second advent when he returns to the earth to fight the battle of Armageddon. Now we compare the rapture and the second advent. In the rapture, Christ comes in the air for his own. In the second advent, he returns to the earth to battle. In the rapture, believers are caught up. In the second advent, no one is caught up. In the rapture, there's the judgment seat of Christ that follows for the Christians. The unbelievers, Christ brings judgment upon the nations here on the earth. In the rapture, the church will be taken to heaven. In the second advent, Christ will set up his kingdom on the earth at the end of the 7 years. The coming of Christ in the rapture is imminent. It could be at any time. In the second advent, there are many signs before he returns for all mankind's judgment and to pour out his wrath. During all those judgments we study in Revelation, all these things will happen. And if we were going to be here, which we're not if we're saved, we would know what's taking place with all those events transpiring. In the rapture, it's only believers. It will be a time of great joy. In the second advent, it's a time of judgment. There'll be weeping and wailing. In the rapture, there's no wrath for believers. For the unbelieving world, he'll pour out his wrath. In the rapture, there's no place for Satan's involvement. In the second advent, the man of sin will have Satan upon the earth empowering him. An image will be created that will be worshipped. There'll be amazing satanic power in that day. All kinds of deceivableness and lying signs and wonders. In the rapture, Christ rewards his servants. In the second advent, he will deliver Israel and judge the nations. And after the rapture, there'll be the wedding supper of the Lamb. The second advent, the bride will return to the earth with the groom. In the rapture, only believers see what happens, and it happens in a moment. In the second advent, every eye will see him, and he will return to the earth to fight the battle. In the rapture, the belief in it allows the tribulation to begin. In the second advent, there will be great war called Armageddon, and then the kingdom for 1,000 years upon the earth. So we're looking for Jesus to come again. It's important we know what the Bible teaches. We should learn biblical prophecy and put it in the right perspective to share it with other people. People have a lot of these events mixed up, the second advent and the rapture. But you can have the knowledge to clarify that for them so they might have hope to go and be with the Lord, and they might be warned not to be left behind. Let's stand together, please. Thank you for your faithfulness.